just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We're back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Sunday. We're in the weekend, usually Sundays and Saturdays. Kind of low-key, not a lot happening. That said, we did have some things happening yesterday in the House of Representatives. Four bills were passed, and that was interesting on a number of different levels, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, yesterday I had a great day. My son had something to do, so my wife and I had to babysit our granddaughter, Junie. Now, my wife works, so I had to get there first, and it was just me and her for a time. And it was great. I walk in the door. She says, Grandpa, hugs me, kisses me, and we go start playing stuff, watching TV and watching the kids' cartoons and all that stuff. And it's great fun. You might remember the story I told you that how she, when my wife happened to be there, she said, let's play lion. Grandma, you be the mama lion. I'll be the baby lion. And she looks at me and she goes, you be the meat. What is that? So anyway, this time, it's just me and her. Grandma's not here yet. And she says, let's play lion. I go, okay, it's just me and her. She can be the baby lion. I'll be the grandpa lion. So she said, I'll be the baby lion. And I'm grandpa lion. No, you're the meat. I go, and I told my wife, I said, you know, she's four. But this seems a little weird to me. It's a little uncomfortable for me. I don't quite get what she's doing or what she's thinking here. Anyway, we had a good time. We watched some stuff. We did some puzzles. She ate some fruit and some fig cookies because she loves them. And everything's going good. We're having fun interacting. And then Grandma comes. Grandma's the shining star. She's all over Grandma. She's freaking out. Right now, I'm a distant second. She's not ignoring me. She's including me, but Grandma's clearly the focal point. Grandma's the star of the show, and I took a back seat for the rest of the day. That said, we had a great time. We had a great time. We met my son for lunch out at a restaurant. He gave me three choices. One was kind of an expensive Italian restaurant. One was more of a moderately priced family restaurant. Now, we were kind of getting together for my birthday, even though I don't do that much. And he said, which one would you like to go to? And I said, well, we got a four-year-old. Why don't we go to the family restaurant as opposed to the expensive Italian restaurant? I said, but we can go wherever you want. He said, okay, we'll go to the Italian restaurant. Fucker never listens to me. Anyway, we went there. The food was great. The service was great. Junie did a pretty good job for a four-year-old. She's still kind of bouncing around a little bit, and but it went great. We had a good time, and those are some of my favorite times when I get to spend time with family, specifically the little girl. And actually, we've got a party set up for next Saturday, a week from yesterday, for my granddaughter's birthday. Her birthday is on the 26th. This particular party is on the 28th, and we'll have a 4-year party for her with all of my family, all of my wife's family, and it should be a good time. Fortunately, we have a party room here, and it's big, and it's got everything you need. It's fantastic. And right next to it, through some sliding doors, is the pool. So it's great. The kids can just open the sliding doors. We go over with them, and they go swimming. It's a fun time. The only thing is, last week, we got a notice saying, yeah, the pool's closed for a time because the water quality in your town isn't good. And I presume that has to do with the fact that they were flushing the fire hydrants. So I'm hoping against hope that by next Saturday, the water's fine, the pool's open, and I don't get some serious shit, because it's not my fault, but I will take the brunt of it. Trust me on this one. Anyway, We're headed into another Rational Boomer Podcast. I want to thank Howard for helping out yesterday. Howard's an interesting guy. I always like his perspective. He's got an interesting background. He has no qualms in suggesting that he had a period of time in his life when he ran astray of the law, spent some time behind locked bars. He has since gone on to rehabilitate himself. He has his own business. He has a wife. He has a family. Great guy, smart guy. And he's similar to me in the sense that, well, he's a few years younger than I am, but he looks like your typical baby boomer Trumplefuck. But he's not. He's a liberal. And he's even living in a rural part of Minnesota, which is saying something. Thankfully, he's a big enough guy, and nobody probably gives him shit, but everybody would see him coming like they see me coming, thinking, oh, there's one of ours. And then they find out they're not, we're not, and then they don't know what the fuck to do with that. Anyhow, we'll start things out. We've got a number of emails, as we always do. And I got to tell you, I love these emails. A lot of people who write me say this is the favorite part. And I'd have to agree, it is the favorite part, because it's a chance for you to interact and be part of the program as opposed to just sitting there and listening. And as I've told you many times before, your input is absolutely crucial to the quality of the program. It's not just about me. It's about all of us. That's what a rational boomer is. It's not me. It's all of us. All right. The first email starts out saying, hey, Mike, I've been getting very confusing news today, and I was hoping you might be able to make sense of it. Late last night, I heard a report that the orange turd publicly agreed with some MAGA moron blowhard that liberals were attempting to get on the jury to make sure he doesn't have a chance, and it was up to them, good-hearted listeners of his, to stop this from happening. Knowing that's in direct violation of his gag order, I was very excited to see what Judge Juan Marchand would say. All I got was crickets. What the hell? There was a report that after the hearing, this rant, one of the jurors stepped down. Still no words of reprimand. Did I miss something? I thought it would be a severe reaction, and as far as I know, it wasn't even mentioned. Well, first of all, you're right. It was not mentioned. Now, that said, there is a hearing scheduled for Tuesday to specifically discuss these violations. I don't know what's going to happen in that hearing, but here's what I will tell you. I don't know why he didn't just drop the hammer last week. That's what he should have done. But I think this judge wanted to get the jury in place so we could get the trial started. You know, if he was to make a mess of it now, then that would just add a delay to the start of the trial. And of course, that's what Donald Trump wants. So he wasn't going to give him that. I still think it's dangerous to let him run roughshod without any kind of reprimand, knowing that he's going to continue to do it. And if he's intimidating the jury or slanting the jury, that is a problem and can turn this trial into a fucking circus. So I'm hoping that Tuesday we get some action, and it's the kind of action that actually shuts him down. Well, who am I kidding? Nothing's going to shut him down. But here's what I'm going to say. Once they're into the trial on Monday, they're going to have the opening arguments and some other shit going on. Once that happens, if he starts to be disruptive and put on a show in front of the jury during the trial, that's when I think the judge is going to lose it, because it's his job to keep the trial running smoothly and not turn it into a circus. If Donald Trump insists on doing that, the judge will have no other choice, at the very least, to move him to another room and put him on video or put the fucker in jail, depending on how bad he is. So we'll see what happens. You didn't miss anything. You're right. Judge Marchand didn't say anything about it. In fact, he was asked about it, and he says, we have a hearing Tuesday. We will talk about it then. We'll see. The second thing, what has gotten into the head of our illustrious Speaker of the House? Did he miraculously grow a conscience after his trip to Mar-a-Lago to kiss a dirty diapered ass? He came back and is trying to push through funding for Israel and Ukraine, which he did. Those passed yesterday. The right side of the House is up in arms, but this and threatening it's going to be the last thing he does as Speaker, but he keeps pushing. I've written you past saying that sometimes feels like an alternate universe, and I'm getting that feeling again. Can you make sense of any of this? I've been looking all day for answers to these conundrums, but haven't found one. Why wouldn't want to be like Mike Johnson doing this? And what the hell am I missing? But with the Lord and Savior of MAGATOWN not being warned or worse for his actions. Help me out, man. I just don't get any of this. Your friend, Paul. Well, here's the thing. You say the right side is against this funding for Ukraine, and that's kind of a misnomer. the entirety of the right side is not. It's just a small faction of people, the MAGA fucks. You know, we're talking 8 to 15 people max that are against funding Ukraine. And I'm going to go a little deeper into this. I have another email coming up of somebody who sent me, Z-Man sent me a video that I watched, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But here's the deal. Mike Johnson knows what can really happen if Russia gets free rein in Ukraine, and he knows that's going to stain him for his legacy is going to be shot if that happens. And he knows the right thing to do is to give money to Ukraine to help protect this country and the world. And yes, we know MAGA has threatened to take a vote of no confidence, a vote to vacate, and that will be hanging over his head. However, I have a feeling that the Democrats made a trade. They want this Ukraine stuff done, and they're running out of time. We have very little time left in this session. Very little is going to get done anyway. So I'm thinking what they did is said, look, just get the Ukraine thing done and the Israeli thing done and all the rest, and we will make sure that they don't kick you out. Because not everybody in the Republican Party is going to vote to kick out Mike Johnson. The vast majority won't. The MAGA fucks will. The only way MAGA wins is if all the Democrats vote against Mike Johnson, which is what they'd normally do because they're not going to help Mike Johnson keep his job. And then the MAGA fucks do it. So half of the House, meaning the Democrats, votes against Mike Johnson. They get 6 or 8 votes and he's gone. Well, if the Democrats don't cooperate with that, then MAGA's got 8 or 10 votes and they don't have a chance. So that's probably why, but there's more to this story that's kind of intriguing. And when I get to that email, we'll talk more about it. All right. The next one says, RB, I was listening to your podcast today, as I have been since finding you on TikTok. I was especially struck when you were talking about the economy. I am an enrolled agent. You probably have never heard of an enrolled agent, but that is a tax professional licensed by the IRS. I am very well aware of enrolled agents. I had an accountant who was an enrolled agent at one time. He's since passed away, but I'm very familiar with it, and it's a good kind of person to be on your side. The email goes on to say, I've prepared over 360 returns so far this year, and I've never seen a better year for an increase in interest and dividends. They're at least quadrupling from the prior year. This is making people with money a lot more money. I wanted to reach out to you before, however, with tax season in full swing, I have not had the time. I would love to talk to you about taxes. My real name is in my email, but if you reference me, please call me Sherlock J. That is how my other tax friends refer to me. Just to let you know, I am a boomer born in 1963. I have lots more to say, but not the time to type everything out. Happy belated birthday, Janice. Well, Janice, thank you for that. Yeah, you had to be pretty busy the last few months. If you're suggesting you'd want to come on the show, more than happy to have you on the show. In fact, at some point in the near future, it would probably be a good thing to have somebody with your background and expertise. Because I think a lot of people were getting surprises when they did their taxes this year because of the bullshit that Donald Trump did, giving us a tax break, then taking it away, and then raising our taxes. So, Janice, all you have to do is what everybody else does. Send me an email, say, Mike, I'd like to be on the show. We work out when we can do it. I send you a Zoom link. You connect up, and we have a conversation. And I would love to do that. I think, you know, there might be some interest in that. Of course, we talk about politics, too, since you're a boomer of my relative age. We can talk about some of the things going on and the economy a little bit, and of course, taxes for the future. Thank you, Janice. I appreciate it. Next one says, hi, Mike. I like this one. Hi, Mike. You do a pretty decent podcast by yourself, but when Old Soul joins you, that takes your podcast to a whole new level. Jack T. Well, I I can't do anything but agree with you. I've said that before. Anytime I have listeners on the show, it makes it the show that much better and makes me look better. So I can't disagree with you there. Next one comes from Steve in Canada. Hi, Mike. I love the show. My favorite part of the show is the emails. See? I just wanted to touch base as you say you read them all, but I sent one and never heard you read it. It's possible you did, but I believe I have watched all or a reply. Just wanted to make sure that they're not going to junk. Anyhow, keep up the great work, Steve in Canada. I do try to read every email. I don't typically reply in email. Sometimes I do if it's something that I don't think the people want on the air, but generally I save the answer for the show. If you did send an email before and I didn't read it, I either didn't get it or I missed it somehow because I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer or the shed. I do miss some things sometimes, so I apologize if I did that. And if you want to resend it, I'll make sure I look for it and we'll read it at that point. But feel free to send any emails you want. Everybody's welcome to send an email, and I'd be happy to read it and respond if that's what's needed. All right. Next one says, Hi, Boomer. I really don't want them to jail Trump overnight for contempt. To do that would make so many accommodations that it would practically be a hotel stay, and then he would be Nelson Mandela the fuck out. I much prefer that they sequester him to a separate room with video of him sitting there. Picture that visual of him looking somewhere in between a petulant child in timeout and a gorilla flinging feces against the glass. Plus, you know, he'd fall asleep in there. Those would be priceless and compelling images. If they do jail him, it needs to be 30 days to really let him feel it. Best, Garage Door Jeff. And, of course, Jeff is famous for his PSs. P.S., if I was a prospective juror and they asked me, I'd say, Judge, I can honestly say that I've never hated a motherfucker more than that felonious festering fuck sitting right there. Then I imagine a 30-day stint might be ordered up for me. But it might be worth it. Yeah, I often thought about that, too. If I was amongst the prospective jurors and they said, can you be fair? I would have to say yes, because fair would have to mean looking at the facts and having a true opinion of the facts. Would I be fair to Donald Trump, meaning would I consider that he's innocent? No, because he's not. He's not fucking innocent, so I couldn't do that. I can't imagine if somebody called me up and looked into my social media that I'd be a top prospect for the defense. I'd probably be kicked out pretty fast. And I don't know that I could sit there 8 hours a day, 4 days a week for 2 months either. I'd probably fall asleep, and then I'd look like a fucking idiot. All right, the next one comes from Oliver. He says, Hi, Boomer. He is getting desperate and feeling the squeeze, talking of Donald Trump. I just read on Politico that Trump's campaign is asking for downstream candidates to give at least 5% of their proceeds to Trump's campaign if they use any of Trump's image and likeness in fundraising. They also go on to say that any split higher than 5% would be seen favorably by the RNC and the Orange Lord Trump, just like the mob boss, the piece of shit diaper Don, to try to screw everyone else to better himself. They are in trouble and they know it. Yeah, I heard this story and I thought it was interesting. There's no way he can enforce that. I mean, if they want to use his face and name, given that he's running for president, they don't have to pay him shit. But some of these people will, because he is their Lord and Savior. But you're right, Donald Trump is desperate financially, certainly right now. He drained the RNC. You know, frankly, they should try to drum up some money for the RNC so those down ballot folks could get some support. At this point, there'll be nothing. There'll be nothing in the cupboard for the down ballot folks, which is good as far as I'm concerned. As much as we don't want Donald Trump to win the presidency, I would love to see the Senate races and the rep races and the legislatures and the governors not get any help and get their ass kicked too. I think that would be a good thing. Thank you, Oliver. All right, the next one. Hello, Mike Irwin from Belgium again, this time with a short question. Diaper Don Snorleone has sat in the courtroom in New York listening to all the negative things potential jurors have tweeted about him, and he hasn't even begun to hear the negativity. Do you think it finally dawns on him that his support is maybe not as big as he thinks it is, and that he might lose the coming election? Irwin. No, I don't. I think the motherfucker's delusional. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, he thinks he's going to pull it out of the fire at some point. He thinks the support is there. I mean, this is the essence of a narcissist. He thinks he's the greatest human that ever lived, and he can't even imagine the idea that people might step away from him. He may be getting a taste of it. You know, he was trying to get people to come out to New York when he started his criminal trial, and basically all he got is 50 dipshits coming out of a clown car. That's all the support he got. This is why I always tell people, don't worry about these Civil War claims and these further violent attacks like we had on January 6th of 2021. Just not going to fucking happen. They don't have the courage. A lot of them are already in jail. They think it's a trap by the deep state. And they know that Joe Biden is going to react dramatically different than their Lord and Savior Donald Trump did on January 6th. Anyway, Irwin has a P.S. The other day, one of your regular email contributors was telling about Earl Scruggs. That was all interesting. I'm an aspiring banjo player myself, but bluegrass was not invented by Earl Scruggs. The invention or discovery of bluegrass music is generally attributed to Bill Monroe, whose band Earl Scruggs played a central role. Lester Flatt was in the band too. Yeah, I'm living in Belgium, but we're in the know here too. I don't know enough about bluegrass, but I do know you're right about Bill Monroe. He was certainly the father of bluegrass in this country, and he was probably the inventor of it. Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs were prominent too, and Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs became famous because we were talking about the theme to the Beverly Hillbillies. They played on that, and that's how they became better known, even beyond playing with Monroe. All right, thank you. Next email. Mike, I apologize in advance, but I'm going to hand you a laundry list of my concerns. However, before I get to that, I'd like to let you know how much I appreciate Old Soul. Her sock of coins reminded me of Sam Puckett from a show my kids watched called iCarly. Sam would assail assholes with a sock filled with butter. Just wondering how many others thought they were in famous butter sock. In reference to the election interference case, I think they should give Trump an Afghan and Bernie Sanders mittens to keep him warm and an Etch-a-Sketch to keep him occupied. On a more serious note, is there no way to better anonymize the jurors? I'm certain it will seem preposterous, but couldn't they sit behind a one-way mirror or something? These poor citizens must be horrified. I don't know if they can do that. I don't know if they should need to do that. I mean, once the judge does his job and puts the hammer down on Donald Trump, hopefully that would be the end of this issue. Now, in a different vein, I'm wondering if Biden will consider balancing, not packing the court if he gets a Democratic Senate or House. I say balance because the court has already been packed. I'm getting slightly disappointed with some high-ranking officials' reluctance to go against unwritten rules of decorum when Republicans are bare-knuckle brawlers. This holds for Merrick Garland as well. I'm sure he wanted to avoid appearing political, but he's bent way too far in the other direction. My God, we have a man running for the presidency that tried to overthrow the fucking government. My next concern is multifaceted. How can we ever hope to fix democracy so that government represents the majority of the voters when we must deal with the Electoral College, gerrymandering, voter suppression, lobbyist money in politics? Well, that's a good point. You know how we deal with it? Think of those things. Who supports all those things? The Republicans. Any effort by the Democrats to change it or adjust it or alter it, they block it. So that's why I say when it comes to the election in November, we must eradicate the Republicans from the House and the Senate, the legislatures, and the governor's jobs all around the country. Then at that point, it will be on the Democrats to fix these problems. The Electoral College is antiquated. We don't need it. Gerrymandering is tantamount to illegal. Same with voter suppression. And the money in politics, that needs to stop. We've tested that out. We've tried that with the Citizens United and all this other shit. And it's clearly working against the country and all of us. We need to fix all those things, but we can't do it as long as the Republicans are still in a position to block it. Lastly, as I stated in a previous email, I didn't used to pay any attention to politics before Shitstain was elected. For the past 8 years, I've become far too preoccupied with wanting to see Trump brought to justice. He embodies so many characteristics of people who have hurt me. I listen to your numerous podcasts, and I'm so happy to have found yours. Some, such as Countdown with Keith Olbermann, raise my blood pressure and leave me raging, while others, such as Sisters-in-Laws, are more a matter of fact and don't aim to infuriate. Do you have any advice on how to disengage while staying informed? Thanks for what you do, Tanya from Cleveland. Well, I'll tell you what I do. First of all, I don't worry about things that I can't control. And there's so much of this I can't control. So the only thing I can do is better inform myself. And that's really the essence of what I do with TikTok and the podcast. It would appear as though I'm doing it for all of you. I'm trying to boil things down to specific terms and understand the facts. But whether I was doing a podcast or TikToks, I'd still be doing it anyway, just for my own sanity. Now, I'm not one that gets all riled up about things. I don't get real emotional about things, only because I know it doesn't matter and it doesn't help. But other than listening to the Rational Boomer podcast, the TikToks, and some other people that do things similarly, this is what I do every day. I watch the mainstream stuff to find out what the stories are. But I'm not happy with what MSNBC or anybody else tells me. Once I know the story and it sounds interesting to me, then I start digging around. I'll look at AP. I'll look at HuffPost. I'll look at Raw Story. I'll look at Reuters. Some places I know that I can trust that actually try to be journalists. And then I dig into those stories. I read a few stories, see what corroborates and what doesn't. And that's how I kind of form my opinions, and I get a better sense about what's going on by doing that. So that's what I would suggest. All right, next one says, "Hi, Mike, there was a report out that the Democratic NATO Congressional Committee outfundraised the Republican National Congressional Committee by almost $12 million in the first quarter. The Democrats have almost $16 million more in their war chest compared to the Democrats." You must have meant the Republicans there. "Several Democratic super PACs raised almost $7 million more than the comparable Republican super PACs." That coupled with another story I heard. Apparently, Dirty Diaper Donnie and the RNC are telling Republicans running for office they need to give Donnie at least 5% off the top from any donations they receive, especially if they use his name, image, and slogan. Anything above 5% would be looked on favorably. Yeah. We'll smile at you if you send us more. And of course, the other emailer brought this up, and it sounds absolutely crazy, but it's absolutely true. That's how Donnie Trump's minds work. How can I make a buck off of anything? And I should make more than you because of the Trump brand, and I'm Donald Trump. He is one of the most self-centered pieces of shit I've ever seen. He doesn't care about the down ballot. He doesn't care about the RNC. All he cares about is himself. And if they can't recognize that by now, then the Republicans deserve what they're going to get, and they are going to get decimated. Email goes on to say he can't raise money on his own. He's using campaign donations to prop up his businesses, and he's selling anything he can brand to make a buck. How can people still think he's rich and powerful? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, from the time he entered office and some of the stories I heard and how he behaved financially, I knew he wasn't a billionaire at that point, but people insisted on it. And the only reason they knew he was a billionaire because he told them. And since he's a pathological liar, to believe him seems to be ridiculous. Now, the email goes on to say, lastly, I saw a clip from, I believe, Midas Touch, where they were talking to Michael Cohen. Cohen said that in regards to the gag order, the only way to get Dirty Diaper Donnie to stop would be to take him down to a cell in the tombs, put him in the cell, walk away for like 20 minutes, and show him his future if he kept violating this gag order. I typically don't agree with Michael Cohen, but in this case, I do. Maybe Judge Merchan will do this on Tuesday. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking you're right. Making it all too real for Donnie is probably the answer. You maybe don't have to put him in there 30 days. That would probably work against us. Put him in there for 5-6 hours, not 20 minutes. 20 minutes would drive him nuts, but we really need to bake it into him. And so, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think that would be an excellent idea, and hopefully they will consider that. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We are back on the Rational Boomer podcast. We're continuing on. We have a few more emails to get to. We're getting a lot of emails these days, and frankly, I'm glad of it. All right. Next one starts off. Hi, Mike. We started off with a setback or two, but we got there. With the jury set and only needing a few alternates, this was before we got all the alternates set, I'm guessing the trial will start with opening statements on Monday, and that is exactly what's going to happen. I bet Donnie is figuratively and maybe literally shitting himself. He needs delays because that's all he has left. I don't know if he understands how screwed he is. I'm not sure he does. His lawyers need to prevent him from talking, as before trial the other day, he basically admitting to the payment and called it legal fees. He might have the right to remain silent, but he definitely doesn't have the ability. There is a hearing next week on Tuesday on whether or not he's violated the gag order, which the prosecutors are saying he's violated 7 times now. They need to increase the gag limits, maybe physically gag him or toss him in jail. He won't stop until he's forced to. Did you see the report that he had to be admonished by his own attorneys for being on his phone during court? Apparently, he even took a call as the trial was starting today. I'm not expecting him to get through the entire trial without being removed from the court and being forced to watch from a separate room, maybe with a coloring book or something to keep him entertained. Lastly, I'm starting to post my TikToks on my YouTube page now. I started tonight after it seems like TikTok throttled a lot of the creators' videos, including mine. As of the writing this, my last 6 videos haven't got past 5 views. So I'm starting to branch out, and if anyone wants to check out my stuff, it's on TikTok or YouTube at the Analytical Iowan. I'll spell it for you. Analyticalion. Check it out. That's Eric. He does some great stuff. You've heard him here on the podcast, and you can see him on TikTok and YouTube. And you know what, Eric? I'm kind of with you with the TikTok thing. Getting very frustrated with TikTok. Some of the games they play, they come out and they say, okay, if you do this, you'll make this much money. And then they cut you back. And then I keep getting these complaints that my TikToks aren't original. And frankly, mine are the perfect example of original. It's just some old guy sitting in a chair in his fucking living room saying things with his mouth that come out of his head. That's me. I don't know how much more original I need to be in order to comply with what they want. I explained to them that we have some imposters out there, but TikTok has refused to do anything with them. I'm with you, Eric. I'm feeling stronger about YouTube than I do TikTok these days. Not that I'm going to stop doing the TikToks. I'm going to continue doing them, but I'm going to put some more effort into YouTube because I feel like it's a more stable platform and you don't have to deal with as much bullshit. I agree with you. I'm with you, Eric. Anyway, next one comes up. Mary She says, "Hey, Boomer, just wondering about your thoughts on Steve Mnuchin's intent to buy TikTok." Well, you remember that slimy ass piece of shit, Steve Mnuchin. He was Donald Trump's Secretary of the Treasury. He's a wealthy guy who's scamming money always. And he came out the last time they talked about forcing TikTok to divest, suggesting that he'd like to buy it. That's probably going to go over just like Elon Musk buying Twitter. I mean, this guy is a slimy right-wing Republican. Let's hope Steve Mnuchin is on the hook at some point after the election for an indictment. I know he doesn't have enough money himself to buy it, but he can pull enough of his rich, creepy fucking friends, and they probably could get enough to buy it. But here's the problem with it. They make it sound like TikTok is owned by China completely. China, I think the government of China or people in China own maybe 20%. The rest is a bunch of investors, some of them even American investors. So I don't know what they expect to happen. If Steve Mnuchin or anybody else from America is going to buy TikTok, they're going to have to cut deals with quite a number of investors. And I just don't see that happening. I don't really think they're going to ban TikTok. That would be a political suicide. 170 million Americans use TikTok. You piss off half the country. That doesn't go too well in terms of votes. If they proceed to try to cancel or ban TikTok, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on doing nothing but helping the Democrats win in November. But once they win in November and they have control of the House and the Senate and the presidency, once we're beyond that and we are safe, then I guarantee you everybody that voted to shut down TikTok, they're going to be on my shit list. I'm going to talk shit about them regardless of if they're Democrat or Republican because they need to be admonished. You know, it's real easy to say, well, China's influencing TikTok. But the fact of the matter is we know Russia is influencing this country through Facebook. Why aren't we dealing with Facebook? They're just as dangerous. Maybe Russia doesn't own Facebook, but they're still using it to their advantage. And we have proof of it. Secondly, if you're really worried about China being involved with TikTok, how much of what we deal with every day, from food to products to cars to all kinds of shit, that do the Chinese own? If we're going to ban TikTok, we might as well ban all those motherfucking things too. But they won't do that. This isn't about China. This is about people like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk being butthurt because TikTok is kicking their ass. I think they would love to buy it so they have control of it and get all the money, because remember, that's what rich people are. They don't want a lot of money. They want all the money. And they are ticked off that TikTok is kicking their ass. There's a lot to this thing, and we need to look at it more. It was passed in the House in these four bills, and now it's going to go to the Senate. And I'm not quite so sure that it's going to pass the Senate, because this would be a huge mistake for Democrats allowing it to pass. That would be a huge mistake, because, like I say, for me, I would stay the course right at this point. But as soon as we're safe and past November, I'm going to call out every fucking Democrat that did it, because they're only doing it for one reason. They have no control of the information and they don't like that. So they're trying to figure out a way to get control by, like, having Steve Mnuchin or somebody buy this motherfucking thing. They are absolutely crazed because we have the ability to pass along information that is true and that they don't control. That is the sole reason why they want to shut down TikTok. But they've got a lot of people using TikTok, and they're going to piss off a lot of people when they do. So we'll see what happens. I'll be surprised if the Senate passes it. But again, remember, if they do pass it and Joe Biden signs it, which he said he would do, even if that happens, there's a six-month period before they could do anything. That would give TikTok a chance to divest itself to some American buyer. And then after that, we would have lawsuit after lawsuit. They'd go Donald Trump on this shit, and it would be in court for the next couple of years. So, you know, I see people out there hearing about the House voting against TikTok and they're going, well, that's it. We're done. We won't see you Monday. No, that's not true. That's not true. It will take a long time before they actually shut it down. These lawsuits are going to keep it tied up for a long time, even if we get to that point. And I'm not convinced that we are getting to that point. I think the Democrats in the Senate are smarter than that, and they'll see the possible ramifications from doing something like that, and they'll back off. They either won't vote for it or they'll vote against shutting down TikTok. Now, I have no inside track for that, but I will just say this. Logic would tell you that they're smart enough to know that this will be a political killer for them if they do ban TikTok. All right, the next one comes from Z-Man, and this is one I was talking about before that is interesting. Hey, Boomer, I sent you the video from Bo of the Fifth Column. Now, Bo of the Fifth Column, you've heard Old Soul talk about him. He's actually very good, very smart, very articulate, and has some good information. And I did listen to the or watch the video. Z-Man goes on to say, I know what you thought of my email on not underestimating Johnson. You made excellent points. I want to make it clear to the other boomers that I don't take any offense when you disagree with me. You still demand. However, I think in light of today, 420, and the incredible implications of what happened today in Bo's video I sent you, you should keep an open mind on the subject as a Machiavellian. I know players never show their strengths. I hope you watch the video and take it seriously. I know you have an open mind, Z-Man. Well, I did watch it, and I do have an open mind. And frankly, what Bo of the Fifth Column said, I said part of that a while back. But then Bo of the Fifth offered something else that I hadn't thought about, so it's kind of interesting. And I'll try to compact this and tell you what it said. But if you could go look up on YouTube or TikTok, Bo of the Fifth, you probably can find the video, and it would well worth watching. What he's suggesting is that Mike Johnson may be kind of a mastermind here and kind of playing the system to his advantage. And, you know, I suppose that's possible. I mean, the fact that he sided with Trump LaFox and the MAGA tells me he's missing a fucking few screws. He's got a few screws loose. But what he's suggesting is that the reason that Mike Johnson isn't worried about being booted by MAGA and whoever else would vote against him or vote for him to be vacated is because there's a rumor. Now, he didn't say where this rumor came from or even if it was valid. He's just using it as a talking point. He says that there's a rumor going around that if he is going to be vacated, that there are several Republican members of the House that will resign. They're using that as leverage. And this is particularly disturbing to the Republicans because if we get two or three more resigning today, tomorrow, whenever, then all of a sudden the Democrats become the majority in the House, and Hakeem Jeffries becomes the Speaker of the House. Now, whether that's just being used as a bluff, or whether it's true, or whether it's even a rumor, the rumor's true, I don't know. But that is conceivable. I said that at one point. I said, you know, people are leaving the Republican Party in the House because they're disgusted by the ridiculousness of this all. I think people have finally had it with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that is conceivable. But then Bo of the Fifth Column said this, and this is the part I hadn't thought about. It's bigger than getting the majority in the House of Representatives. Because the Democrats already have the majority in the Senate. If they got the majority in the House of Representatives, Bo of the Fifth Column, and I'm not sure if this is true, but it's conceivable and makes some sense, that the House, now that the Democrats have the majority, could have a vote to call what Donald Trump did on January 6th as an insurrection, which would take him off the ballots all over the place in spite of what the Supreme Court said. Well, in conjunction with what the Supreme Court said. And that's true. Could Mike Johnson be using that to leverage the Republicans to stop them from vacating him from the Speaker of the House? Yeah, sure, that could be. I like Occam's razor better. The simplest decision is usually the right one. And the simple decision is that Mike Johnson's got a short time as Speaker of the House. He isn't going to get much accomplished anyway. He's getting some pressure from MAGA. And even if he does what they want him to do in this case, they'll still pressure him on something else. He'll be having them on his back for the rest of the time he's Speaker of the House. The simple thing would be to say that the Democrats really wanted the Ukraine funding to go through. I mean, it's been a long time and it's getting a little sketchy in Ukraine. They're running out of weapons and artillery and money and all kinds of thing. And they're in trouble of Russia running roughshod over them. So the Democrats really wanted to get this Ukraine thing done. And the only way they can do it is if Mike Johnson put it up for a vote, which he did yesterday, and it passed. The simpler explanation would be the Democrats saying, look, if you put up the Ukraine bill, let people vote for it, and the Israel bill, and the humanitarian for Gaza bill, if you do that, then we will make sure on our side of the House that you're saved. You have to understand what happens, why MAGA is in a position to kick Kevin McCarthy or kick Mike Johnson out. Now, not all Republicans are going to vote to boot Mike Johnson. In fact, most of the Republicans probably wouldn't vote to boot Mike Johnson. They got a bad taste in their mouth. They don't have a stomach for it. But in a situation like this, like the situation we had Kevin McCarthy, all Democrats voted to boot Kevin McCarthy. They would not save him. So the Republicans didn't need all the Republicans to vote for it. All they needed was the MAGA fucks, the 8 or 10 of them to vote, and he's gone. So if the Democrats say, you know what, we're going to vote to stick with Mike Johnson, then those 8 or 10 votes aren't worth a shit because there'll be some other Republican votes intended to save him. So you can look at it either way. Is Mike Johnson a mastermind? I don't know. It doesn't really matter if he's a mastermind in my mind because he's nothing but weak. The Republicans are weak. They haven't been able to pass anything without the help of the Democrats. I don't know what kind of game he's going to pull himself out and the Republicans out of the fire here because they just don't have enough power. They don't have enough leverage. Some people have said, well, when we get to January 3rd, he just won't give the oath to the new Democratic members of the House. And then he'll give it back to the House of Representatives when the Republicans are in the majority, and then they'll not give Biden the win. And that's absolutely ridiculous. That's something a Republican would say. And if you believe that shit, you're being duped. Fact of the matter is, on January 3rd, if we have a Congress that is duly elected and Democrats have the majority, well, then Hakeem Jeffries will be the Speaker of the House on January 3rd. Secondly, I told you about a rule or a law that's out there. I don't know if it's in the Constitution or what it is, but it said that no Speaker of the House and no majority leader in the Senate can refuse to give the oath of office to a duly elected candidate. The only thing they can do is give them the oath and then afterwards try to ban him or her from the body. So what Beau the Fifth said is interesting, and he does give some things that maybe make some sense, and maybe it's true. I don't know. I may be short-sighted on this thing, but it's such a shit show in there to think that there's some master strategy that they're playing in this chess game, this 3D chess game, just to get something. I don't know what Mike Johnson could ultimately get, what this mastermind could gain by what Bo of the Fifth Column is saying. It's something to think about, certainly, but I don't know what the end game is. How does Mike Johnson win at this? He can't win. He's too weak. The Republican Party in the House is too weak, as is illustrated by the fact they can't pass anything without the Democrats. Now, the idea that if they do try to vacate Mike Johnson, that some other Republicans resign on the spot just to stick it to the Republicans and because they're sick of it, I said that about 3 weeks ago. That's conceivable. We've got people already resigning because they're frustrated. It would not be surprising if a couple of them or maybe three of them did that if they did this to Mike Johnson. Look, kicking out Mike Johnson right now is not a good move. It's not a smart move. They have nobody to replace him with. And they could sit there for the next 6 months without a Speaker of the House, basically making the House of Representatives absolutely worthless because you can't do anything with a Speaker of the House. I don't honestly know what the answer is. I prefer to look at the more simple answer instead of the more salacious and sensational one. It'd be great to think that there's some mastermind thing going on, but this is what I think we've always given Donald Trump and the Republicans too much credit. But time after time, they make stupid moves like overturning Roe v. Wade prior to the midterms elections. They really thought people would forget about it and they'd do great in the midterms. Didn't fucking happen. I told you that months before. Didn't take a genius to figure that out. And if Republicans are this short-sighted or this unwilling to admit they're wrong, to think they've got some master plan now, I just don't get it. And I guess time will tell. All right, we talked about what the House of Representatives did yesterday, and we can give you the specifics now. The House of Representatives approved a $60.8 billion package of aid for the embattled country of Ukraine on Saturday. This ended a months-long attempt by Republicans to leverage the Ukraine money to extract concessions on border security from the White House. Now, we know the Republicans did not want to give Ukraine money. Well, who else doesn't want Ukraine to get money from America? Well, that would be Vladimir Putin. So the Republicans are doing the bidding of Russia and Vladimir Putin. You feel good about that? Fuck, I don't. Now, the overwhelming bipartisan vote, 311 to 112, was never in doubt, even as the path to get to the vote was a long and circuitous one beginning in September. The issue wasn't of whether or not it was going to pass. That wasn't the issue. The issue was whether Mike Johnson was going to put it up for a vote and or pull a Mitch McConnell and leave it on the desk for 6 months. That's kind of what he did anyway. But he decided to put it up. He got pressure from the Democrats, and I think he got some assurance from the Democrats that they would not let MAGA kick him out. Now, as in the past votes, the final tally was bipartisan, but weighted toward Democrats. See what I mean? The Democrats are the ones that helped pass this for the Republicans, not the Republicans taking control. 210 voted in favor, joined by 101 House Republicans. A majority of Republicans, though 112, voted against the aid, while no Democrats did. So Mike Quigley, a Democrat from Illinois, said, "This is now up to the American people." He's a co-chair for the bipartisan Congressional Ukraine Caucus, noting that money should be enough to get Ukraine past the U.S. elections later this year. The decision in November will be a decision for Ukraine and Eastern Europe and NATO. That's the next turning point. Now, the bill is one in a four-part $95 billion package, which also includes $26.4 billion in military aid for Israel and $8.1 billion for Taiwan and other Asian allies. Another bill in the package also allows for the confiscation of official Russian government assets in the U.S. and requires social media, the social media app TikTok, to divest its U.S. operations from the Chinese owners or face a ban. We talked about TikTok. I don't know what to think about it. I think if they do ban TikTok, it is going to be a horrific mistake by Democrats and Republicans. Once we're past this November election, those people who signed on to shut it down are going to pay a hefty fucking price. And I'll be the first one to be calling them out, whether they be Republican or Democrat. Not because I'm a huge supporter of TikTok. TikTok is a means to an end for me. TikTok is a way to get me out there so that I could ultimately do a podcast. I'm more interested and feel it's more important to do the podcast than it is TikToks. But TikToks, I have a lot of followers on TikTok, so I have a responsibility to be there when they're looking for me. And it's also a good tool to send more people to the podcast. That said, I'm not opposed to doing the TikToks, whether I'm doing them on TikTok or not, and putting them on Instagram and Facebook, and most importantly, YouTube. I'm feeling stronger toward YouTube these days because I can do the same thing that I do on TikTok. The only difference is I don't have as many followers on YouTube. But as I've told you before, how many followers I have isn't an issue to me. Whether I have a small audience or a huge audience, the important thing is if I can talk to some people, the word spreads and will build over time. But the point is to be able to have the opportunity to say the things I do. And it doesn't matter how big the crowd is to me. So now all these will head to the Senate, which passed a very similar package without the Russian asset seizure and TikTok divestiture language in February. While opponents of the aid to Ukraine are expected to try to delay passage, the Senate vote in February had 70 backers, which is more than a supermajority. President Joe Biden has signaled that he will sign the bill once it clears Congress. That would put an end to the fight Republicans picked in late September when then-House Speaker Kevin McCarthy jettisoned a similar $6 billion Ukraine aid package from a stopgap spending bill. See what I mean? There's one guy that wants to avoid Ukraine getting money, and that is Vladimir Putin. And our Republicans are doing his bidding. Do you feel comfortable with that? I fucking do not. Now, after a few months standoff, Republican Senator James Lankford and Democratic Senator Chris Murphy tried to negotiate a bipartisan deal on Ukraine aid and border security, only to see it fall apart. Donald Trump said, sink that motherfucker. And of course, the Republicans did exactly that. It's interesting. Now, Mike Johnson said something interesting about this bill. Mike Johnson said, he had held off action on Ukraine aid. The reason Ukraine didn't get the funding was because of Mike Johnson. He wouldn't bring it up for a vote. He reversed course on Wednesday, saying, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. Well, that's a little dramatic. There was never going to be American boys sent to Ukraine, but you got to have an excuse, right? Now, there was a bit of an issue on the floor yesterday. Marjorie Taylor Greene said, we had members of Congress in there waving the Ukrainian flag on the United States House of Representatives floor while we're doing nothing to secure our border. Well, we're not doing anything to secure the border, Marge, because of you and your Lord and Savior, Donald Trump. Had nothing to do with the Democrats. I think every American in this country should be furious. I think every person in this country should hate your fucking guts, you Neanderthal little bitch. I'm just saying. But they have to find something to be upset about. So the fact that these flags, these Ukrainian flags were being waved, they're trying to make it sound like, well, it's un-American and that shouldn't happen in the House of Representatives. Really, Marjorie? Really? You're worried about the Ukrainian flag when you're up there showing naked pictures of Hunter Biden and dick pics from Hunter Biden? You're the one that should be talking? I think not, you piece of shit. Eric Burleson, a Republican from Missouri, posted a picture of Democrats and the flags to his social media. Democrats waving Ukrainian flags on the House floor tells you everything you need to know about their priorities. He wrote, Ukraine first, America last. Yeah, nice try on that, bitch. Nice try. These people, fucking A. Now, moments after the Republican majority House passed the funding bill, as I say, Marjorie Taylor Greene is losing her shit because of the Ukrainian flag being waved. Now, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I understand the point. And some of the things the Republicans have done in the House of Representatives, I mean, I don't know, George Santos, Kevin McCarthy, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren the Groper Boebert, you have a lot of, it's very rich that you would get pissed off about Ukrainian flags when all the crazy, stupid shit you do. Now, surrounded by a sea of reporters, the far-right Georgia lawmaker, Marjorie Taylor Greene, focused most of her ire on Mike Johnson and complained what had just occurred was bullshit. That was solely his fault. Bullshit. Isn't she the one that asked for decorum? Little decorum? Yeah, well, that's a little outside of decorum, I would think, Margie. Brief update. We heard about the story about the guy during the lunch break of the Trump election interference trial in the Manhattan District. They took a lunch break, and then a man went into the park across from the courthouse, threw up a bunch of propaganda pamphlets, doused himself with an accelerant, and set himself out fire outside the courthouse where former President Donald Trump was on trial. Well, that gentleman died, and it's not surprising. If you saw any of the video with the flames, it was absolutely huge. How he survived as long as he did, I don't know. Still, there were people trying to say that he was a Trump humper. He was not. He was a conspiracy theorist, to be sure, but I don't think he liked the Democrats or the Republic. He was a registered Democrat, but he was talking about elites and the rich and how they're trying to take down this country economically. Now, he has a manifesto that was online. He did some videos. He was not a Trump humper at all. He wasn't a smart guy or a good guy. Well, actually, he was a smart guy. He had a tech background. He's educated. But somehow, he went off the edge there. And people will say, well, he wasn't crazy. Look at all this stuff he did. Look, a guy douses himself with accelerant and lights him on fire. I think it's safe to say that motherfucker's crazy. Anyway, he died. And apparently he got what he was looking for, attention. And that's why he did it where he did. It had nothing to do with the trial other than the fact that he knew that everybody would be focused on that area. During this trial, he knew he would get the attention. He thought he was doing something. He thought he was doing something good for the country. And he essentially committed suicide by doing what he did. That's all. To suggest this was a Trump supporter that was desperate because his Lord and Savior was being persecuted, that's not what happened. Much as people will want to have you believe that's what happened, that's not what happened. Now, it's interesting, we're getting to the end of the Rational Boomer podcast, but I wanted to bring this up. Donald Trump, in his trial, was firmly scolded by the judge in his criminal hush money case, and he was also warned that he might go to prison if he doesn't show up at the next hearing date, according to an investigative journalist. And this is particularly interesting because Donald Trump thinks he's above everybody. He thinks everybody should pay him homage because he's a former president. Well, this judge isn't having it, and he's not going to take any bullshit. I mean, Donald Trump, toward the end of the day, they were wrapping things up. Everybody thought it was over. Donald Trump gets up. He's ready to walk out, and the judge says, shit, sit down. We're not done here. And this had to drive Donald Trump nuts. He likes to be the one in control. He likes to be the one that's the boss. And when somebody else forces him to mind, I don't think he likes it much. And there's going to be a lot of this over the next 2 months, a lot of shit that Donald Trump does not like. Now, Carol D. Lenig, an investigative journalist and MSNBC contributor, appeared on the network on Saturday to discuss Trump's legal problems. The host asked Lenig about a moment in which Trump was told to sit down by the judge. And she went on to say, he's not in the driver's seat. He has to sit in his chair and not allowed to leave except for when the judge dismisses people. He's also not able to speak. This is one of the greatest frustrations because he is the master of the megaphone. She pointed out that when he was muttering on day two of jury selection, the judge scolded him rather firmly and then said there will be none of that. All Trump wants to communicate in his trial one way or another. He wants to have his voice heard. That is not possible, she added. The judge also said to Donald Trump in a stern warning Tuesday, you better be in court or he could be imprisoned and arrested for contempt of court. This is no joke. When you are on trial, you are on trial, and the boss is the judge. Ooh, I'm guessing Donnie didn't like to hear that, because no one's above Donald Trump in Donald Trump's mind. Well, for the next 2 months, he's going to have a boss, and he's going to have to mind, or there's going to be some accountability. And I'm convinced that once we're in the trial, if he starts acting up, the judge will act swiftly and decisively. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. I hope you have a great day, and of course, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.